Back on the post game, Cenk and John with you guys. This is when John likes to show off his guns.
No, I'm just tired.
Yeah.
I'm very tired.
Okay.
My eyes are killing me. Actually,
John,
are my glasses in here? Where are my glasses?
They're already members. You're not going to seduce them into tyt.com/John. They're already members. It doesn't matter. Although, tyt.com/upgrade, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying, okay? So anyway, we came in with Halloween music. So last night, we took the kids to three different spots in LA. So we really went all out.
That's why
I wasn't on the postgame. I had to rush home. And like, because I like, we had this like packed itinerary with the kids. Three different neighborhoods. And they've never gotten so much candy. They filled up their little orange pumpkin thing.
They still use those. That's cute.
Yeah. And so, and LA has now developed a couple of spots. I don't want to get into where they are because I don't, you know.
People will be stalking you next Halloween.
No, it's just their neighborhood things, right?
Yeah.
And so it's nice. And at some point, you know, people will discover it and they'll get gigantic and they'll shut it down.
Where people decorate and stuff?
Yeah, so one of the spots, a lot of the houses decorate. They put, they come out to the lawn and set up tables and different things and they hand out candy there. One guy had a giant train set up throughout his front yard. Others have like whole like Westworld kind of skeleton army. I know. I knew that you'd like that. One has a giant pirate, a skeleton theme, and like some like live motion stuff going on. I'm probably not saying that right. Anyway, last year they had the Dodgers game
on
a giant big screen in the front lawn.
What does that have to do with Halloween, though?
No, because it's just like a family atmosphere and fun. And here's the key. They some of the houses give drinks to the parents. So Halloween for the adults as well. And by the way, the houses that have like huge crowds around them, all the ones giving out drinks.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I wonder, I mean, I haven't done trick-or-treating in LA, but I know, so a show that I watched recently was The Curious Creations of Christine McConnell on Netflix, which is awesome. I'm trying to get him to watch it. And it's about this woman who does these crazy in-depth artistic Halloween things. And the reason she got the show is a couple of years back, she lives in LA, she decorated her mom's house and she did so much and so intricate that it went viral, like millions of people shared it. I wonder if that sort of thing has spurred any competition. Where other people are like, well, maybe I go, you know, if I do a good job, I go viral.
Yeah, well, actually, that leads me to the second part of the story. So that's the one neighborhood. That's like a Mardi Gras for kids. I mean, there's so many kids, it's unbelievable. Like, you have to hold on to your kids because you might lose them. I talked about it last year. So, but this year, we also went to another place where one house started just putting up more and more decorations. And then the catty corner house, they started putting up more and more decorations. And then the whole neighbor. And then this year when we went, normally we just drive by because it's amazing. Before Halloween, they have it out for a long time. We're like, let's try it on Halloween, right? And it's at night. They close down the block. They turn
just
it into a
walking
block party. Yeah. And that one is more teenagers because it's a little older because the houses are really scary.
Okay.
And then one of the houses is like this giant secret party for adults. And like you come in and you have to say a code word. I saw it and I was like, oh my God, I don't know the code word.
You put your keys in a bowl, it's code word and you're good. Spooky.
I was like, Rosebud, tyt.com/Cenk.
They actually had a code word.
I think so, yeah. Because the she knocked on the door, the side door that was not open, giant security guard opened it. And you could hear the music, but you didn't know where it was coming from. And I looked inside, and it was like Shangri-La.
Do you think it was all like celebrities?
I don't know. Well, who knows? But
we gotta use one of our connections. We gotta get in that party.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden he's all jazzed up about it, and he's gotta get in.
A code word?
I know.
I want it.
Yeah, and then he's like, he says something like, "What's the code word?" And she's like, "Blah blah 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 blah." And then he's like, "Okay," and he let her in. I was like, "Oh, that's so cool." Anyway, so we go to the front of the house for candy for the kids. And we get the candy and they're like, okay, this way. And it looks like there's a little pathway that leads out to a sidewalk, but there's a couple of scary things there. I'm like, good. I wanted to scare the kids, right? You put a little fear of God in them. So, you know, okay, have them grow up a little
bit. Or the devil.
Yeah, or either way. No, seriously, I enjoy a little bit.
Of course.
Right? But it turns out One, it did not lead to the sidewalk. It led to a haunted house that they had built in their yard. Okay, but even the pathway to the haunted house was so scary that Joy started shaking. Okay, and then they're like, I'm like, where's the sidewalk? They're like, no, now the real haunted house starts. And I'm like, oh no, we're turning around.
So oh, you didn't go into the haunted house?
No way. No, you don't understand. Pro's age, Joy is six. Mm-hmm. Pro is like, now he's at an age where he's not like 50-50 on holding my hand. No, 75-25 against. Okay. But he's like, he's holding my hand real tight. And he's like, Baba, I don't know, right? Right. And
that's funny.
And Joy is
scared of thrills for kids.
That's so funny. Okay. And Joy's like, Baba, we gotta go. We gotta go. Okay. And she's like shaking and all that. And I was like, no, we're not going in. This is definitely too deep. Okay.
Were you scared?
No.
Okay.
I'm a humanist. I'm rational. Okay.
Okay. Well, you know, I am curious. I should have asked this at the very beginning. You're taking them around these places. Were you in costume?
So look, so now this is a crazy part of the story and that I had not planned on telling, but okay, fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, my kids' costumes were great. Pro went as the guy in Assassin's Creed. What's his name?
I mean, it depends on which one. There's
been Ezio.
So many. Ezio. Okay, from the yeah.
He went as Ezio.
Because I just played the new Assassin's Creed. I played as Cassandra.
Okay.
She's awesome.
Okay.
She's this like kind of jacked Greek woman. It was sweet.
Okay, so he went as Ezio from Assassin's Creed. Although he doesn't play the game, he's too young to play the game. But he thinks it's super cool.
He just thinks it's cool to have a blade on your wrist.
He just loves video games, so he's like, "Yeah, okay. That one looks super cool." Okay, and Joy and Wendy, my wife, went as Shimmer and Shine.
Okay, ponies?
They're some cartoon for young girls. I don't know
that one.
But Wendy was Shimmer and Joy was Shine, and so people loved it. It was super cute. Me, I'm like, I need this costume. Please don't annoy me. Like, I'm begging you. Okay. So at the last second, I thought, oh, I have a Steelers jersey.
Okay.
So I put on a Steelers jersey, and I'm like, and we're done with this.
Okay. Did you put like the paint or anything?
Just a jersey, and I'm done with it. But underneath, I also had a Steelers T-shirt. Okay. See, skip
two layers deep.
That's right, literally. So where's the interesting or controversial part of the story? So we're going around that neighborhood, but I had some wine and we had just had a quickie dinner. So I gotta take a leak. I'm dying. I'm gonna have to take the kids home earlier because I'm like, I got. And so at one of the houses, they're like, oh, Steelers. Oh, we love the Steelers. Pick anything you like. I'm like, could I come in and use your restroom? And they're like, what? And I explain, well, the kids, the thing, the blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, all right. But two of them accompanied me in, and then they, et cetera. And then I was out in a minute, and then I told them again, my kids, thank you. And they're like, okay, he didn't rob the place. He wasn't crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, good. We did something good in the world.
They
okay.
just assumed up at that point, I think we're being robbed right now.
Right. So, so the kids were relieved. Everybody was relieved. I especially was relieved. But only I would ask to use someone's bathroom randomly.
Like, yeah, I would have been like, so here's what's gonna happen. I'm gonna use the bathroom. The question is if it's in your bathroom or if it's in your yard. It's like a trick or leak situation.
Oh!
Somebody's peeing tonight, okay?
I would not have done that. But I was hoping that somebody would recognize me and then they would be like, oh yeah, bathroom, no problem, right? Mm-hmm. But the best I got was a Steelers jersey. No, later somebody recognized and said, but it wasn't their house and they,
didn't have a bathroom or a bucket or anything. Yeah.
And then they started talking about how much they liked Hassan, so I left immediately.
Yeah, he's done with it. They might have let him go to the bathroom, but that's about it. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the cutesy Halloween stories. All right, now on to real monsters. Steve King. So I did a story on Steve King the other day. You know, now he said, you know, the neo-Nazi party basically in Austria, if they were here, they would be Republicans. Well, that part is true. Mm-hmm. But it's like the 18th neo-Nazi thing he said. And so the head of the Republicans' re-election efforts in the House was like, okay, Steve King's a douche. Sorry, he's not with us.
Yeah.
Technically, he is. but we apologize.
They found sort of a line.
Yeah, they did. They found. Like when he said the Nazis would be Republicans, they're like, not that they're worried about the Jews or any other minority that he's been offending nonstop, but they're like, wait, that offends us. Mm-hmm. We don't want to be known as the Nazis. That's where we're drawing the line. Okay. So anyways, as I was reading into Steve King's history, now I know most of it, but you got to brush up obviously before you come on air, the Cantaloupe Cabs, which is hilarious, right?
And I always think that that was Gomer because it's stupid, but I forget that it's also hateful.
Yeah, that's right. And it was about the thing I forgot about it is that he was talking about the Dreamers. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't actually people who had come into the country. They were brought in as kids. So why would they? He's like, some of them are valedictorians, but some of them have cantaloupe calves because they dragged 75 pounds of marijuana into the country as drug mules. I'm like, they're kids. No, they didn't.
They weren't drug mules.
That's right. Like that. None of that makes any sense.
He saw like one jacked dreamer and it has thrown off his whole idea of his population.
Anyway, so, but the part I didn't have time to tell you on the show, that's why I said I'd tell you in the post game, was just a little bit of how he got there. Because, I can't speak to whether he was a natural born racist, but I can speak to a story I did not know previously about how he decided that it was a good strategy. Mm-hmm. So it was 1996, and he was at a gathering of conservatives. He was giving a big speech. It's Iowa, obviously, right? And he basically pulled a Trump. He thought, oh, English should be the language of the country, but he wasn't sure. He literally says this himself. He wasn't sure, mm-hmm. and he kind of tested it as Trump did throughout the primaries, A/B testing with the crowd, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like. And English is important. And he's like, ooh, they got a big applause line. And it should be the state language and the national language. And he said there was like uproarious applause. Like that got the biggest applause line of the whole day of all the different speakers at that event.
That's pathetic.
Yes. He's like, that's it, English.
Yeah.
And they want it to be English and they don't like immigrants. He's a politician. He's like, so I don't like immigrants. Okay, and it's actually a little bit depressing because, especially at that time, he's getting better now, but at that time and for a long time, he found out that his district was racist. Mm-hmm. So he became a racist in a sense to win in that district. And it worked, and he won that election, right? And then he's won every election, and they know how racist he is.
Yeah.
And so finally, it's not working quite as much because, like, he used to win by huge margins. And there was a poll.
Very Republican district.
That's right.
Yeah.
So J.D. Schultz was running against him. He was on Rebel headquarters. You should support him. But there's a poll out recently that you have some issues with, or that we just haven't heard of.
Just that it's a pollster I'm not familiar with.
Yeah. And it's got J.D. within 1 point of Steve.
Yeah.
But even if that poll isn't perfectly accurate, let's say he loses by 4 or something. First of all, he's got a real shot. That to take Steve King out of Congress would be,
oh my God, that'd be phenomenal. Amazing.
Phenomenal. That would be one of the best parts of the night, right? But even if he gets to 4 points or anything along those lines, well, bringing it down from 20 some odd points to 4 points, mm-hmm. we're making progress. And I think that's why I'm saying, that's why I said on day one, I don't think DeSantis's racism is going to work as well as he thinks it is. And that's why I said today that Trump's hysteria over demonizing Latinos, I don't think it's going to work as well as it used to. Mm-hmm. So Dave, those white evangelical voters are what carries them. Mm-hmm. You take them out, they get demolished all across the country, demolished, okay? So, and they've kind of maximized how much hate they could wring out of that group.
Yeah.
So, and now they're starting to lose people not in that group. And if,
like, women generally,
right? And the stat that I'm stuck on, because unless I'm missing something, 85% voter turnout in any demographic cannot be repeated. Mm. It's not replicable. It's just not. It's a monstrous number.
If it was like evangelical Republican 85-year-old, maybe 85%. Like, right. But it has to be such a specific thing.
No, but it was all white evangelical voters in the country. 85%
of them
showed up, and 81% of them voted for Donald Trump. And so it's just not a thing that could be repeated. So when they go to the well, I think 2016 is when the well, you know, had basically, they squeezed the last drop out of that well. And I think the well is dry now. Now, it's understandable that I see the skepticism in your face and the concern, et cetera.
Especially
which
in Florida.
Which is shared by all Democrats across the country. Like, well, we didn't know what the hell was going on in 2016. And and look, I mean, it looks like there's an unlimited pool of racism in this country. And I have to confess that I didn't know how bad it was, right? And he's hearing these stories over and over again. And actually, Emma's reporting from the Trump rallies.
That's true.
Like that last Fort Myers one.
Wait, which one was the last one?
The one we showed today, okay?
You're talking about birthright citizenship?
Yeah, birthright citizenship. Yeah, yeah. Man, those folks, like everyone she interviewed, everyone that was in the camera shot, I'd have to talk to her more in depth to see if there was any minors, but they were all completely white. It was 100% white, right? And man, they had such hatred in their hearts. And I don't say that about all the Trump rallies, and I thought there's some interviews she did, I was like, oh, that's an interesting, you know, aspect of the Trump voters that I didn't expect sometimes. It is rare, but it does happen sometimes. So I'm not prejudging it, really not. I think that those are really interesting. That's why we sent her, to find out how bad is it, how good is it, how maybe we're misjudging them, et cetera, right? A lot of people were frustrated in 2016 against the establishment. That's why they voted for Trump. But not the ones showing up to the rallies.
And, yeah, the and rallies not most are special breed. Yeah. Yeah, we send her to get that inside look at the Trump, you know, supporters, also how they change over time. I also like it because we've been doing it for a few years, so I want to see what that does to a person going to those rallies. So Emma's like mental health gradually declining, her falling apart personally.
I don't want to.
I just want to watch that over time as a sociological experiment. Totally kidding. No.
Okay.
But she's doing great work, and man, her poker face during those interviews, I could never do what she does at those interviews.
Well, the guy with the tattoo that we ran today, I don't know if you saw it yet. It just came out today. So the guy's got this crazy, insane
tattoo.
Oh,
you're talking about the Soros-Obama tattoos?
Yeah. Yeah, so he's got Obama, Clinton, and Ayatollah Khomeini at the bottom rung of evil. But at the top of evil is Soros, okay?
Is it like a tramp stamp or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
it is?
It's well, it's this whole back, and the bottom row where you would have the tramp stamp has Hillary, Obama's in the middle, so.
Okay.
And then Khomeini, and at the top of that is Soros. And so he, in the beginning, he trusts her because she looks like them, right? And then when she challenges him a little bit, he's like, wait a minute, what are you doing here? Right?
Yeah, yeah. They don't go there to like think about different things and stuff.
Yeah, and they, it's shocking, I know, that they might make judgments based on race.
Yeah.
So Emma, they like, this nice white girl, okay? Very okay, yeah, yeah, of course, Soros is evil, right? You with me, right? He controls them more like puppets,
like
right?
A puppet master, right. Yeah.
He didn't say puppet master, to be fair to
like
him.
Like a globalist puppet master.
Only we would care to be fair to a guy who appears to be deeply racist and anti-Semitic, and so much so that he tattooed it on his back.
Why would you tattoo things you hate on your body? Like get a Trump tattoo or something.
Yeah.
I think that's pathetic too, but like I wouldn't get Ted Cruz on my back because I hate
could
him.
Could you imagine Ted Cruz on your back? You can't get rid of him? And you can't even see him. He's right next to your ass.
The good thing about that is usually some people are worried about when you get a tattoo that like as you age and your body falls apart, it looks worse. But if you get to Ted Cruz and you gain a bunch of weight, it just looks more and more like him. It just falls apart.
No, now that you put it that way, who would be like maniacal enough if you're a progressive to put Ted Cruz, Mitch McConnell, and Louis Gohmert, and then like maybe Trump at the top or the Koch brothers at the top.
Or Phyllis Schlafly or something. Why would you do that?
It's like vomitous.
You have one body, people. Tattoo good things on there.
And so as I was looking through that, I was like, man, these folks really can't stand immigrants, Latinos, minorities. They can't stand them. And it's that's so disconcerting. Like,
well,
they just live on a different planet. They do. It's two different countries. The places I grew up wasn't like that. It's really, it's hard for me to comprehend Like, why? Why do they hate minorities so much? What's the big deal? How does it affect their lives?
They're told they're gonna kill you, they're gonna rape you, they stole your job. Everything bad about your life is because of them. They've been told that every day since they were born.
Yeah, so I get that those guys clearly exist, and they exist in sizable enough numbers that it helped Trump win. But I think every day we gain and they lose.
I just want to say
one thing. Numbers. Gillum's winning, and he's winning
by a decent. 5 or 6 points or something.
Yeah, five or six points. Yeah.
My fear a little bit. So I read a Vanity Fair profile saying that it's another one of those Trump's mood has darkened thing. He thought that Kavanaugh was going to clinch this thing, and then that fell off, and then there were the bombs, and he's like getting really worried. And I was thinking, like, obviously we want the Dems to at least take the House, you know, if not more. But Trump has been pretty terrible, even though he has had control over everything. Like, if he, and you know how frustrated he gets if he doesn't get his way. If the Dems do take the House and there are investigations, or they get his taxes, or Mueller comes out with something, like, there is a very real chance that he will react in really bad ways. Like, not just, you know, racist campaign ads, but executive orders or God knows what. Like, he just threw thousands of soldiers down to the border to scare people in advance of the midterms. Like, that was to hopefully go up in the polls at a point or two. Like, if he's actually being pressured by a minority party that now actually has control, at least a little bit, I don't know how Donald Trump will react.
Yeah, but I think
still
that,
want it.
No, I got you. I think that could be a downward spiral, though. So normal people often compound their mistakes, and that's actually, ironically, appropriately, the biggest mistake is compounding it. Mm-hmm. Just leave it alone. Don't keep digging, right? But it's a very normal human thing to do, to compound the mistakes when you're I want to make it up, or you're in a panic, or a combination thereof. Now, really dumb people like Donald Trump compound their mistakes over and over and over until it becomes exponential. So, yeah, he will compound his problems, right? So he'll be in a frenzy once they lose the House at a minimum, and he'll blame other Republicans, which won't make it any better.
He's getting ready for, yeah.
Yeah, he's already signaling that it's Paul Ryan's fault. Paul Ryan's not even running.
What does he do? Like,
anyway, and then when Mueller comes out, and this is the biggest two. Like, I don't know what Mueller's going to come up with. I know what he could have, and he could have everything, and even 25% of it, 40% of it could be plenty enough to knock him out, right? Like, people just ignore that, no, David Pecker gave evidence to Mueller, so did Michael Cohen.
Pecker's the National Enquirer guy.
Yeah, the head of the National Enquirer. They definitely have him on campaign finance violations. Mm-hmm. That's in-kind contributions not reported, clearly 1,000,000,000% illegal, okay? They have him on obstruction of justice.
Totally.
And these are actually, in my opinion, they're the tip of the iceberg. But I don't know what Mueller's going to do. Mueller could be overly cautious. That's his nature. Be like, oh no, I'm only going to present the evidence that I am 1,000% sure of, because I don't want to be called biased, and I don't want it to be called a witch hunt. So I'll only give you a morsel. Like, don't do that.
It's
don't
possible.
Do that, right? Give us whatever you have. Don't make up stuff, obviously. I mean, look at me. Even I'm saying that. Of course Mueller's not going to make up stuff.
No, make up some stuff. I mean, if it helps us.
But that's how they think.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah.
But what if Wall takes him down?
Did you? They were supposed to have the press conference today.
They did. You didn't see it?
No.
So their witness didn't show weird.
They do that trick every time.
And then they were like, so she's not here, but she totally exists. Here's her name. And then depending on which group of reporters they talked to, they spelled her name differently. And look, I'm not going to go through all of the reasons it was ridiculous, because it was ridiculous for so many. But the guy, not Wohl, the Republican lobbyist, who's like, Wohl is a genius, he's smarter than Mozart. He's standing there doing the press conference, and his fly was unzipped.
Oh, God.
You sad fool.
Berkman?
Just to summarize, yeah, Berkman, his fly is just open.
That's who they are. Wohl, those are the two co-conspirators in this effort to smear Mueller, to say he had sexual assault allegations, was a drunk, just like Kavanaugh.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very clever. I like how you came up with a little twist, except you didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway. they trace back what Wohl claimed was an Israeli intelligence agency, et cetera.
Surefire, yeah.
Yeah. It's in his mom's house.
Yeah.
It's in his mom's house. Okay. So, okay, that's who these guys. But, you know, those two guys, you know, dismissed by the media, no beef with the media there, generally very skeptical of them, et cetera. Mm. But in a decent chunk of the Republican Party and conservative circles, they're like, oh, yeah, of course, Jack Bergman, yeah.
Amazing.
He's a real consultant, lobbyist, et cetera, right? And Wohl, I mean, what is Wohl saying on Twitter?
Even though Bergman was one of the, he was pushing Seth Rich conspiracy theories that even other Seth Rich conspiracy theorists were like, come on, that's crazy.
I totally. All right, so super last thing. If the elections go poorly and he starts spiraling, and then Mueller drops, not a napalm, but just any bomb, let alone, you know what I'm saying? Anything he's got, is he's gonna, let alone if it's napalm, right? But napalm actually might just end it. Just like, hey, we got Donald Trump, we have you and Donald Trump Jr., you're both going to jail. And Trump's like, yeah, I'll see you guys later. Do I get to keep the money? I get to keep the money? Okay, I'll see you guys later, right? That's my theory, you know that. Mm-hmm. But but some sort of like real evidence against Trump, he's gonna devolve and it's gonna start spinning out of control. Mm-hmm. And so, but the more he spins out of control, the more I think, and after the Republicans just lost, they're not gonna be in any mood to be like, no, but it's okay, he's got magic.
That's true.
Right? Because his magic will have been dispelled.
Although he might not accept that he's lost. Like, I don't know what form.
I don't know.
I don't know exactly what form that comes in, but I know that he's not gonna say, well, you know, we got shellacked. Like, I don't think he's gonna say
like
that.
Like Obama did.
I will also say on the Mueller thing, we've had this conversation a few times now. I don't know if I've just been so beaten down by the news over the past few years. Like, I don't know exactly what he'll come out with. It's entirely possible that he comes out with exactly the sorts of things that Nixon was, you know, taken down for. But I cannot actually, and I'm being honest to you, I cannot in my mind imagine it mattering. Like that he presents, turns out, oh my God, breaking news, it's all over the place. New York Times has it. Here's his evidence. It's clear proof of wrongdoing. I cannot imagine Donald Trump walking out of the White House. Like, okay, I just think, like his biggest fan just tried to assassinate everybody. And it, a couple days later, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares anymore. Like he does the ad. It's the most racist ad ever. It doesn't matter, like a couple days later. I just think everything doesn't matter.
No, those things don't matter to him because it doesn't affect him. Him going to prison, losing all his money, his son or his kids going to prison, that affects him. That's why he walks out, not because he's like, oh, I'm embarrassed.
No, I'm not saying embarrassed. Right? I'm
he's
saying
a lifelong criminal.
I can't imagine him going along with it. Even, you know, I'm talking about literally breaking the law. Like, I don't think, we'll see. I'm worried that it won't matter.
And so last point of clarification, if it's obstruction of justice, he'll fight it all the way.
That's sort of what I'm saying.
100%. Yeah. And then his supporters will be like, oh, we knew it, it was a witch hunt, that's nothing, blah, blah, blah. And we'll be in the mired in the muck. And that's
for two years.
Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid of, that Mueller's gonna go soft and just do obstruction of justice, because it's the only thing he could prove, you know, 1,000%.
Yeah,
right?
By the way, just obstruction of justice.
I know.
That should end your presidency.
I know. But if he gets him on the mother load, or not even the
money laundering.
Yeah, money laundering, definitely. But even like if they've got like, look, here's our case. Here is clear violation of law. Cohen says it, Pecker says it, this guy says it, that guy says it, right? And it's your co-conspirators. Manafort says it. Manafort says you worked with the Russians and you guys had a deal. If they get into that server and figured out what the fuck Alpha Bank sent him.
I wonder if we'll ever know.
Yes, if they figure out what they sent him, then he's toast on top of toast. He's fucking gone. Do you see what I'm saying? Alpha Bank, the largest Russian bank, sent Donald Trump's server in the middle of Pennsylvania clear communications. Mm. And I had initially speculated, I'm like, I don't know the tech of it. Could they be sending money somehow? And the answer is no. But in the second report that I told you guys about a couple of weeks ago, they said no, but what it could be doing is telling them where to get the money. Like it's like a correspondence about bank accounts, et cetera.
Okay.
Right?
Then
there's no defense, there's no nothing.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell himself walks in and goes, Donald, here's the fucking handcuffs. Mm-hmm. Here's your walking papers. Which one would you like? Because Mitch McConnell doesn't want that shit, right? Mm-hmm. He just got his ass handed to him, right? And the Republican Party is gonna fucking explode.
And the Senate map the next time around is much better for the Democrats.
That's exactly right. Why Mitch McConnell? Because the Senate won't be that bad this time around. Why not, you know, the leader in the House who got, because the House is where they're gonna get killed. No, because next time, it's almost all Republicans up in the mm-hmm. Senate. And McConnell's gonna be like, no. You gotta go. But it all depends on what Mueller wants to put out there. Mm-hmm. You know, what he has, I'm pretty certain about. Mm-hmm. What he puts out is a different question.
I agree.
Right.
I like the picture that you're sketching. I can't imagine it ever happening.
Okay. All right, we might find out soon enough. All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.